Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I want to talk to you about the fall classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. This fall, we will be offering Defending the Christian Faith on Monday evenings, American Sign Language on Monday evenings, Financial Peace on Monday evenings. On Tuesday, we will have Biblical Counseling, where we teach people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have a special class coming up on Thursdays, and it will begin in October, dealing with Black Hebrews, something that is happening in our communities today that we want to be aware of. So come and join us here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. Take a class. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen this evening.
To Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today we will continue our series titled The Feasts of Israel with the first half of the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Feast of Tabernacles.
I want to ask that you would open in your Bibles this morning to Leviticus chapter 23. As we continue a series that we started last week on the fall feast of Israel. Last week we looked at the Day of Atonement, and I don't know how many of you know, but yesterday actually was the Day of Atonement. So, the Lord is, in the midst of this series, the Lord is really opening my eyes to some things. One of the things is that Israel had seven feasts. And a lot of times we think that these feasts are related to Israel only. But four times the Lord said they were his feasts, not Israel's feasts, but his feasts. And so this is something that I believe as a church, we just can't breeze right by. So even looking at yesterday being the Day of Atonement, and then I believe it's this week, is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, as we'll be studying this morning. Before I read the scripture, many of you have been getting on me and telling me, Pastor, that you come on television. We never know when you come on. You never tell us. So I'm going to tell you now that, you know, this movie Left Behind, they actually had a panel that came to talk about the rapture on Cornerstone Television, and I was invited to be a part of that panel. Now, it's already aired a couple times, but the next time it's going to air is going to be today at 2:30 on Cornerstone Television, today at 2:30, then Monday at 9 p.m., and then again this coming Thursday at 2 p.m. So for those of you who are interested, that's today at 2:30, tomorrow at 9 p.m. and Thursday at 2 p.m. Leviticus chapter 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And on the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord. So right there, we see right there, it's not Israel's feast. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meal offering and a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which you will give unto the Lord, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, When you shall have gathered the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take on the first day of the boughs of the goodly branches of the palm trees, and the boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brooks, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I have made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. As we've been looking at these feasts of Israel, we have been using the an acronym HOLY. And this HOLY has helped us to understand how to look at these feasts. We used last week this in reference to the Day of Atonement, and we said that the H stands for honor. What occasion does it honor? The O stands for observance. How is it observed? The L, it stands for lesson. What lesson can be learned as we look at these particular feasts? And then the Y stands for Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. How does it point to Christ? So that's the outline that we've been using throughout this time, and that's the outline that we will continue to use. So first of all, let's look at honor. What does this particular feast, the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles, what does it honor? We see here that the Feast of Booths, and I believe you have this in your notes, the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles, actually it's the Hebrew word Sukkot. And you may hear many Jewish people referring to it as Sukkot. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering. And the reason that they called it the Feast of Ingathering, because it was held after the fall harvest. Usually after they harvested all the crops in the fall, that they would have the Feast of Booths. And so actually this kind of recognized that harvest. So some people called it the Feast of Ingathering. And it's actually a commemoration when the Israelites lived in temporary shelters as they journeyed through the wilderness for 40 years. You may remember that God led his people up out of Egypt. And as they came up out of Egypt, they were wandering in the wilderness, and God sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness, and they lived in these temporary sukkots or tabernacles, these tents that they pitched in the wilderness. And during this celebration, the Jewish people look back at that time, and they thank God for his care and his protection. This was the third of the fall feasts, and it lasted for 7 days. And this was during the month of Tishri. I think one of these Sunday mornings, it's going to be very interesting. I've been studying the Jewish calendar, and maybe to do a brief presentation on the Jewish calendar. It's amazing when you look at this calendar, and even when you compare it to what we have as the Gregorian calendar, and it's completely different. And so, and many people believe that the Jewish calendar is actually God's calendar, but we'll save that conversation for another time. But the month of Tishri was the first month of the fall, and now we would look at it, it would be like our end of September through the beginning of October. That would be that time for us. So this is what this feast honors. It honors the Jewish people wandering in the wilderness and how God sustained them as they lived in the tents. Next, we look at the observance. How was it observed? We see that it began on the 15th day of the seventh month, and it lasted for 7 days. That they were to celebrate this feast for 7 days. On the first day of the feast and on the eighth day of the feast, they were not to do any work, and they were to have a holy convocation where they would come together and fast and probably afflict themselves with sackcloth and ashes as they recognized this time that they had dedicated unto the Lord. And for 7 days, the people would make sacrifices to God.
We would like to take a short break. When the Lord gave the feasts in Leviticus 23, they were for more than just the Israelites to observe at that time. While we are not commanded to keep the feasts and celebrating them is not necessary for salvation, during our next Facebook Live event, Dr. William R. Glaze will show how understanding the feasts will give us a deeper appreciation for this great salvation we have in Jesus Christ and how the work of Christ is deeply rooted in these Old Testament celebrations. Tune in to Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live event Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. You will have an opportunity to ask questions about Dr. Glaze's series, The Feasts of Israel. Looking forward to seeing you at facebook.com/ Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
Now we see here in, I believe it's verse 37, where he talks about all the sacrifices that they were to make. Look what he says. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Look at this. A burnt offering, a meal offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, and everything upon his day. So there was designated days where they were to come and to offer these offerings upon the altar for 7 days. So that was the procedure for this feast. Now, what was the purpose of the feast? The purpose of the feast, it was a time to celebrate and thank God for the harvest. Look at verse 39. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you shall have gathered in the fruit of the land. So here, again, we have that reference to the harvest. It was at the end of the harvest and that they were to set aside this day. It says that you shall have a feast unto the Lord for 7 days. So it was to celebrate God, celebrate and thank God for the harvest. The second thing, it was a time for them to rejoice before the Lord. A time to rejoice before the Lord. Look what it says in verse 40. And you shall take on the first day the boughs of the goodly trees, branches of palms and of boughs of fig trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. They were to take these, and we all know them as palm branches, and we think of Palm Sunday when they used to wave the palms. And here we say, if you talk to a Jewish person, they'll tell you that they are to wave these branches in the four directions. They are to wave it to the east, to the north, to the south, and to the west, and then they are to wave it to the front, and then to the back, and up and down. And that symbolized the fact that we realize that God is the creator of all things and that he is sovereign over the earth and he is present everywhere. So they would celebrate with these palms just waving them in every direction. You know, it's kind of, you know, I believe that the spirit that they had might have been like the spirit that we had this morning as the songs were being sung. You know how it just got down in your soul? It just was ringing in your soul. And so these folk, they did this for 7 days, and they did it with this spirit of thanksgiving, with this spirit of celebration that came from the heart. You know, we talk about worship. I've been writing a piece on worship. And one of the things that I was talking about in this article is the fact that, you know, we talk about praise and worship. But really, when you think about it, you can't connect the two together. Because worship is in the heart. Praise is what you do. If your heart is not connected with what you're doing, then it might just be praise, but it's not worship. And so when we think about worship, that worship is something that generates down in our spirit. It's something that, as the psalmist says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. All that is in me, that everything that's down in me, watch this now, don't miss this. Everything that's down in me is connected with what I do. That if I run across this stage, and I got a lot of room now, if I run across this stage and dance, then it ought to be connected to my heart. If I get up and wave my hands, it ought to be connected to my heart. If I stand up and sing a song, it ought to be connected to my heart. And so God is telling them that for 7 days you ought to have a celebration. And it's just not. It's just not that. But what you're doing, you're celebrating unto the Lord. And it needs to be connected with your heart. And so we see that they were to thank God that the purpose was a time to celebrate and thank God for the harvest. It was a time to rejoice before the Lord. And then look at verse 41. It was a time when they were to remember how God took care of them in the wilderness. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And so God said this is to be a commemoration that every year that you should do this so that your children do not forget what God did for us while we were in the wilderness. Now, what were some of the practices that they did during the feast? Well, the first thing that they did, they lived in Sukkots or booths that were made out of plants and branches and leaves. Now, if you talk to a lot of Jewish people today, what they'll do is they'll build a Sukkot in their yard somewhere. And they'll build this little tent or this little, you know, we might call it like a little shack, but it's not like a shack because they decorate it with all kind of leaves and all kind of flowers. I mean, I was watching some family celebrating the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, and man, these are some beautiful edifices that they construct, and that for 7 days they have to eat at least one meal in the Sukkot, and then they have to sleep at least one night in the Sukkot. And so God said that you shall remember this for all your generations. And thank God that as we look at a lot of Jewish people today, that they haven't forgot this. They continue to celebrate it. Now, I'm not sure if I would want to sleep in a Sukkot last night, but you know, maybe it's going to warm up, you know, so you wouldn't mind. But if you're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, that you should have a little booth or a dwelling place, a tent, where you go, and like I said, they eat at least one meal, and they show the kids and how the kids go out there and they take their food, and one meal a day they eat in the Sukkot, and then sleep at least one night a week, during that week, during the Feast of Tabernacles. So that was a blessed time. Now, if you'll notice a couple of things, and I have them in your notes for you, is that they were to make these Sukkots out of different leaves and trees, the citron and the myrtle and the palm and the willow. And you read that in verses 39 and 40. Now, here goes something interesting that you may never have seen it before. I know I didn't really see it until I started studying this out. And that was the lighter ones. Like when they would collect all these leaves and branches and stumps, when they would collect it, they would build a Sukkot with that. And the lighter ones, what they would do is they would take those and that they would wave them east, west, north, south, up and down. Now, look at this. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. All right, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 15, when they were reviving the law, look what he tells them in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 15, that they were restoring the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's go back to verse 13. And on the second day were gathered together the heads of the fathers of the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord commanded Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. So what is that? Can't hear you. The Feast of Tabernacles. All right, I knew y'all would get it. All right, the feast. So evidently, you know, after they had gone into captivity and they came back, that they had stopped celebrating it. And so when Nehemiah came and they rebuilt the wall and they rebuilt the temple, that they reestablished the what? The Feast of Tabernacles. And verse 15, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount. Okay, look at this. And fetch what? Olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm trees and branches of fig trees to make what? A Sukkot, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone on the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of Ephraim. And then they lived in those booths in recognition of what? Sukkot. So we see that some of the leaves were used to build the tent. Now, look at this. Look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And the leaves that they didn't use for the Sukkot, for the tent, they would use these leaves to wave before the Lord. And it says here that, speaking of this time of celebration, now we sing the song, right? This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So one of the things that, I mean, and we should do that, right? We should sing that song. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad. But when they sang this song, you know what they were singing about? The Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of booths, all right? This is the day which the Lord hath made, this feast day. Now, go on, let's go back to Leviticus. What did God say? And this is a feast of who? The Lord. This is the Lord's feast. This is the day, what? What day? The day of this feast that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And look what they say. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I send thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And so when we look at this and we see it says what? Hosanna. Save now. Now where else do we see the people saying Hosanna? In the New Testament, when Jesus did what? When he rode into the city. So we see that this whole concept of the Feast of Booths, and so what the people did is that they had these palm branches and they were waving them in obedience to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, let me tell you another thing about the Feast of Tabernacles, and I can't prove this, but there's good evidence that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. See, we think of Christmas, right, when December, and we celebrate Christmas during December as the birth of Christ. But the chances are, according to many Jewish scholars and according to many theologians, that Christ was actually born in the fall.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Feasts of Tabernacles from our series titled The Feast of Israel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Feast of Tabernacles, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Tabernacles. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Tabernacles. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.